You're listening to the DW Podcast, insightful conversations on life, love, and leadership.
Let's get into the Word. Hebrews chapter 13, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn there with me, please. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. God, you are great and greatly to be praised. Man, what an honor and a privilege to be in your presence and to listen to your word. For me personally, what a privilege is and an honor, a weighty honor, God, to share, to preach, to teach, to declare your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May we embrace your word today and run in it and all the things that you have made us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. I'm going to read from the NIV version. This is what it says. The author of Hebrews is unknown, but they say, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." I'll read it again for effect's sake. "And do not forget," don't forget, "to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." We're continuing in the same vein, the preaching series that Pastor Jeremy has started a few weeks back on the well, a conversation around this notion of generosity, okay? And I am aware I have been in church long enough and have been connected to pastors long enough to understand that anytime we talk about this idea of generosity, this idea of giving, things can get a bit sticky, right? Like, whoa, wait a minute, here we go, the pastor's gonna talk about money, right? And I get it. You don't want to come to church and always hear about the pastor trying to get the money out of your pockets and things like that, but I think there is something that we have to acknowledge. Anytime we think about the idea of giving, our minds automatically at some level go to the notion of giving stuff, right? Give your money, give of your home, give of your car, give of materials, right? We've got Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, right? And so many of us will probably cook meals and share those meals and take plates. You know, some of us will go to the local food bank, or many other churches that we know of are feeding families, right? So we'll give food, we'll give stuff. Christmas is coming. Many of us are going to buy gifts to give one another, buy gifts to give those who are less fortunate, those who don't have the means or the resources to buy those items and gifts for themselves, right? And I do believe, as we talk through generosity, there is an element of generosity that involves the giving of stuff, right? Scripture is clear, right, when it tells us that if your brother or your sister asks for one coat, how many coats are you actually supposed to give them? Two, right? It's this notion of give them more than what they have asked for. While I encourage us all to make sure that we are not stingy with our stuff, I think God's challenge for us this morning has very little to do with giving stuff. And it has more to do with giving of ourselves. Okay? being that generosity does not come from us, it is only befitting, family, that we talk about generosity in light of the fact that God is generous, right? God is generous. How would you say that God is generous? Well, throughout the entirety of the Old Testament, there is this message that God constantly gives to the children of Israel. He always says, I will be your God and you will be my people. This dates all the way back to creation when God gives his very breath and breathes life into man. Since the beginning of creation, God has always been giving himself away. You fast forward to the New Testament in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So God the Father gives his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus comes down from perfection into our world, a place of imperfection, and he journeys with us. Old school preachers in my context would say that he tabernacled with us for 33 years, dies on the cross, giving of himself, being buried in the grave, and rises 3 days later. What's another name for Jesus? Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. He gives himself in the person and the work of his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, before he ascends, before he leaves this place of imperfection back to his throne of authority and power at the right hand of the Father, he is having a conversation with the disciples. And he comforts them by saying, I will not leave you comfortless, but when I go, I will send you a comforter in that of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Family, do you see the generosity of God? He was never just after creating us so that we could do things for him, yet he created us so that we could be with him. We messed that up in the Garden of Eden. He does not implement a plan B, yet he goes back to his original plan. You are my goal. I want you to be with you. God is a generous God. We have the Father with us. We have the Son given for us. And we have the Holy Spirit given in us. Now, you have to understand, it is important that we laid out this idea of God being a generous God in the very true and fabric nature of who he is. Why? Because left to our own devices, family, none of us in here would ever be generous. Be honest with yourself. Right? None of us would ever be generous. None of us would give our stuff away. None of us would dare give ourselves away in such a busy world that we live in. If I'm honest with you, I'll speak on behalf of all of us, if you would allow me. There are just days where I don't feel like being generous. There are days where I just want to get up, let my kids get to school on their own, don't feel like driving them, dropping them off, want to just go to my job, do what I want to do, do my work, come home, bring my kids home, put dinner on the table, and then lean into the night. I just want to just keep my head down, focus on myself, don't want to worry about the neighbors, don't want to worry about next week. I just want to kind of live in this tunnel and make sure me, myself, and mine are taken care of. Devoid of the Holy Spirit, I would never be generous. Without the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, my mind, my heart posture is not one of leaning into giving and being a blessing to other people. We need you, family, need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to live a generous life. If you don't believe me, John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus is having a conversation with the woman at the well, and he speaks about this very thing. The woman at the well, no pun intended. I know what it is, the sermon series. It's the title of the sermon series, but Jesus is talking to her, and he says to her, he says, listen, there is the water that I will give you. You will never thirst again. The water that Jesus gives, family, it will quench your thirst. You won't be thirsty anymore. I shared with the 9 a.m. service that those of us who are thirsty are stingy. Yeah. Those of us who are thirsty are stingy. But why are you thirsty? Because you are always looking to the left and to the right for something less than Jesus to satisfy you. Never content. Always looking and wishing for more. Always minimizing the good things that the Lord has already put in your hand as if he ain't enough. And so we work, we claw, we scheme, we connive, we lie, we cheat, we manipulate, all from a place of being thirsty. But Jesus says, if you drink the water from him that he gives, you will never thirst again. Not only does he say you won't ever thirst again, but he says the water that he gives you will spring forth inside of you like a well unto eternal life. Picture a spring of water. When you are full of the water, the H2O of Jesus Christ, it will overflow in your life to the degree at which you can't contain it by yourself. You have to give it away. Because you're full of something that you in your physical body, you have to share it with other people. Not only does it quench your thirst, but it will also overflow into a life with Jesus. You need that water inside of you. Because it's the water of Jesus that transforms, that changes you on the inside. It's the water of Jesus that actually builds into you a spirit and a heart posture of generosity. I'll say it again, because if you're honest with yourself, you wouldn't try to bless anybody. And some of you in here might say, well, no, I always want to give. I always want to be a blessing. Yeah, you probably do, but for the wrong motive. So that you might feel good about your own self, and not because you attach it to the fact that God has been generous with you. So we have a God who is generous. His generosity deposited inside of us is what changes us. And this, family, is how we end up at Hebrews 13, 16. What in the world does God's generosity and his generosity changing us on the inside have anything to do with Hebrews 13, 16? Well, in your own time, book of Hebrews, author unknown, chapters 1 through 12, the author is giving sort of a theological essay on the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Namely put, the author says that Jesus is better than fill in the blank. A few of those blanks throughout the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is far better than the angels. That Jesus is far better than the law. Whatever you would put in that blank space, Jesus is far better. Can I put a pin right here real quick that many of us, if not all of us in here, either need to know this or we need to be reminded that the supremacy of Jesus Christ is all that we need. It is enough. He is enough to sustain us. When we are moved and bewildered by the stuff that goes on in our world today, and we feel like we are emotionally and mentally tossed to the left and tossed to the right, can I encourage you, family, that the supremacy of Jesus Christ will sustain you through it all? He is better. Love it, Tim Keller. God rest his soul. He had a soliloquy that he would give. He would say that Jesus is the true and better, and he goes throughout the entire Old Testament. love it. The undercurrent of that should be present in our lives today. That whatever idol you would raise up, whatever good thing in this life that you would put your hope in, Jesus is better than that. So the author of Hebrews, they proclaim the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you have the believers during the book of Hebrews that are going through persecution. They're struggling, trying to lean into their faith, trying to walk with Jesus, not always getting it right, but daily waking up, leaning into the heart of God. That sound familiar to any of you in here? Right? Does that seem like your life at times? Right? Life is tough. Life is difficult. Life throws you curveballs, but you still find yourself leaning into the heart and the rhythms of Jesus Christ. And the author of Hebrews, they're telling the people of God, this is how you endure. And so when you get to chapter 13, there is a laundry list of actionable items on how the author of Hebrews is encouraging the people of God to endure. And in this one particular text, verse 16, part of our endurance as the body of Christ will come through generosity. Come through generosity. Look at what the text says. The author says, do not forget. Don't forget, family. Don't forget. I don't know if any of you in here are like me. It is easy for me to forget things. And when I don't want to forget something, I then have to rely on, thank God, the God-given technology of Siri. Hey, Siri, remind me to. This notion of not forgetting is rooted in priority. Prioritize. You have to place a primacy, you have to place a high level of importance on what is about to follow. If you think about it, you schedule, you set, you put parameters and boundaries and frameworks around the things that matter to you. Whatever you got to do. If you got to write it on your whiteboard in your house, we have a massive 8-foot by 4-foot whiteboard in our house. If you got to write it with a dry erase marker on your mirror, if you got to put it in your phone or on your physical calendar, the author of Hebrews, family, is saying you cannot afford to forget this. This is not something that you get to say before you go to bed, I'll remember it tomorrow, but you don't make any effort to commit it to memory. You cannot afford to forget this. You can't afford to forget what? They say, don't forget. The author says, don't forget to do good. Do good. Do good. Be good to the people around you, to the people that you work with, to the people you go to school with, to the people that live in your neighborhood. You cannot afford. If we are going to keep Christ as supreme and endure in this sin-sick world and embrace generosity, we cannot afford to forget to do good. Reminds me of my high school football coach. I played football, I played defensive back. He would always tell me, he said, Dwayne, you ought to always keep your head on a swivel when you're running around on the field. Keep your head on a swivel. What was he saying? He's saying, always look around. Be aware of what's going on. Keep the field of play in front of you. Focus. Especially on the football field, because if you don't focus, somebody could blindside you. You ain't never been blindsided before. I remember one time in high school, I got blindsided, got hit in the side, and I had a stinger. I could barely walk to the sideline. And that stinger, it hurt. It went all the way from the side of my head down into my fingertips, all because I wasn't paying attention. And in this text, if you're going to endure, if you're going to stay on the field of fight, if you're going to stay in the field of play, you have to wake up every single day and look for the opportunities to be a blessing. You ought to be salivating to be good to somebody. Not just idly sitting by, well, you know, I'll wait, Lord, if you bring him in front of me and we have a good conversation and I check their background and run their fingerprint clearance, Lord God, and make sure it fits in my budget and make sure it fits in my schedule. And, you know, and then if they look at me the right way and at the end of it all, it still feels like it's good and kosher, then we might bless them. No. No, this ought to be something that's initiated out of your own heart posture because you believe that a good God in glory has been good to you. Has he not been good to you? Even when you had your back turned on him? Even during those seasons, okay, maybe not y'all, during those seasons of my life when I felt like there was nothing that I wanted to do with him, he was still good to me. Out of that posture, does the author of Hebrews command us, challenge us, be good to people? We live in a world that is thirsty for goodness. And we have the Spirit of God inside of us, who empowers us to be good. Not only does the text say to do good, but the author also says, don't forget to share with others. Somebody say share. This is why, if you go back to the beginning of the sermon, we had to set it up that many of us, when we talk about generosity, we always, most times, immediately go to the giving of stuff. The sharing, the giving of stuff. But giving, family, is different than sharing. Remember, giving, I can take money or a coat or some stuff, put it in your hand, you take it, and you go on about your life, and I stay right where I'm at. You feel good because your need has been met, and I feel good because I had the opportunity to meet your need. Important, necessary, but I think God is calling us to something even more. Because when you talk about sharing, I don't just get to put something in your hand and you go on your way and I stay right where I'm at. No. Sharing actually means that I take what's in my hand and I set it on the table between us and we both sit down together at the table and we share in that together. It's sharing. This is why we say God is challenging us on this morning to shift from just the being generous with our stuff, but to being generous with ourselves. And if we're honest, for many of us in here, it's easy to give, but it's not easy to share. For many of us in here, we would rather give because we don't have time to share. You can give with the push of a button and your thumb, Cash App, Zelle, right? There's even great platforms online if somebody is sick or somebody is recovering or somebody is going through that you can just get online, order, type it in, and it'll come from the restaurant or the store and be delivered directly to that individual. You ain't got to go nowhere and pick nothing up. It's all online. Give. I think God is calling us to prioritize sharing. The challenge is that many of us don't want to share because we don't love the person enough to be with them. You'd rather give them something and feel good about yourself, but you don't want them, you don't love them enough to sit with them. Over time, and listen to them and share and hear their heart and hear their story. You don't love them enough to do a Romans 12 to grieve with them when they're grieving or to celebrate with them when they're rejoicing. This is, family, what God is calling us to do. The author of Hebrews says, don't forget to pause. Take what you have to give, set it on the table, and invite people to the table so that we could linger together. Lest you wrestle, be honest with yourself. We wrestle with this notion of sharing because there's just certain people we don't want to sit at the table with. Family, co-workers, neighbors, people of different political views, people of different theological views, you fill in the blank. We don't want to sit at the table with them. We don't want to sit at the table with them because he got small ears. We don't want to sit at the table with him because he's bald-headed. We don't want to sit at the table with him because he lives south of the 10. Be honest with yourself, right? We all got him. That's why I think the Lord, in the notion of generosity, is begging us this morning to reorient our lives around sharing tables with people that are not like us. If we're honest, when Jesus came down to share tables with us, love saying it like this, he who was perfect left his place of perfection to come down and do life with those of us who are imperfect. Can you pause a moment and just don that on? Can you pause a moment and just take that in? When you feel the temptation to judge, to push off, to criticize, to come up with a million and one excuses as to why you can't, as to why you won't share with others and life with them, can you just remind yourself that you actually don't deserve for Jesus to share his life with you? Even if you was to sit up here and say, no, Pastor Hawkins, here's my resume. I've been good. I've been faithful. To what end, though? For what reason? So that you could show your resume? Or have you been good and faithful because you know it's been the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that has kept you? And without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be where you are. We have this saying in our household, today it's you, tomorrow it's me. Let me sit with my brother and my sister in a way that is gracious and understanding because God has gifted me to share with you today and give it time. I'm gonna need you to sit and share with me tomorrow. Author of Hebrews closes. He says, when we don't forget to do good, when we don't forget to share with others, It is this sacrifice. It is a sacrifice to do good and share. Let's be clear. Many of us will leave here motivated. I want to do good and I want to share. And tomorrow will come and you will not feel like it. Many times, initially, you will never feel like it in your flesh. You will never feel like it in your mind, your schedule. Other folks that are calling you and pulling on you will always challenge you. You will never feel like it. That's why it is a sacrifice. You think it felt good to Jesus to take those lashes? Did you think it felt good to Jesus to have nails in his hands and nails in his feet? Did it feel good to Jesus to have a crown of 72 two-inch thorns crushed in his head? Did it feel good to Jesus? I hear the prophet say, though, it was the joy that was set before him that allowed him to endure the cross and despise the shame. Likewise, it will be the joy that we are pleasing to our God, that when our Father sees us, he will smile on us because we are sacrificing by doing good and sharing our lives with others. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for being a God who is generous, for defining for us, for rightly giving us an example of what it means to live a life of generosity, to give of ourselves because you gave of yourself to us. I pray, God, that as we move into Thanksgiving, as we move into the holidays, that we would not just be okay with the transference of stuff to other people, but that we would step out on faith sacrificially and invite people to our table because we actually desire to be with them more than we desire to do for them. Remind us of this always. We love you, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more resources, check us out at tdhcoaching.com.